Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
What is happening, gang? We have got a jam-packed episode of the Inside Football Podcast with Bill Pulling. In today's episode, we've overcome some technical issues, and we're finally excited to bring you our look at the offseason of the NFC North. This is a division in turmoil. Lots of quarterback changes for almost all the teams, and the one team that stayed consistent at quarterback drafted somebody, and you know, he tends to not like that kind of stuff. So this is going to be super fun. We get Bill's insight into all the comings and goings in the NFC North. But before we dive into today's show, I wanted to take a minute and talk about one of our favorite sponsors, BetOnline. The month of June is heating up with tons of exciting sports action, and BetOnline is where you can find it, from basketball and hockey playoffs to baseball's marquee matchups, including prop bets and futures. BetOnline has all the latest odds, news, and information for your online sports betting needs. So what are you waiting for? Visit the website today or use your mobile device to join and receive a 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's right, a 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. So before the next tip-off, face-off, or pitch, head over to BetOnline and start playing today. All right, gang, here we go. This is our look at the NFC North, the offseason that was, on the Inside Football Podcast with Bill Fuller. And we are live on the Inside Football Podcast with Bill Polian. We have crossed the technical divide, and we are excited to bring you another edition of the Inside Football Podcast. In today's episode, a lot of quarterback turnover in this division, except for the one quarterback who, you know, us in the Washington football team family love seeing get turned over over and over. That's Kirk Cousins. Who's excited for this one?
Well, you know, we've been waiting an extra week to do this, so I'm there.
Here we go. How are we doing today, Bill?
Good, thank you.
All right. Well, Rick, take us to a city that was about to riot because of the Red Rocket, where maybe things have changed. What's up in Chicago?
All right. So we will talk about the Windy City. So as we remember, last year the Bears finished 8-8. Offensively, they ranked 23rd in points per game, averaging about 22 and a half a game. Their combined yards, they were 27th in the league at 5.1. Passing yards, they were tied for 26th at 6.0. Things did not improve on the rushing side, where they were tied for 23rd at 4.1. In sacks allowed, they were more mid-level team, where they were tied for 6th at 2.2. So, you know, the rankings there are in the mid to low 20s pretty much throughout. On defense, the picture was a little brighter. They gave up 20.3 points per game, which put them 13th in the league. The total combined yards they allowed per game was 347, which ranked them 11th. In passing yards, they were tied for 16th at an average of 6.8 per pass. In rushing yards, they were tied for 8th at 4.1, but in sacks, they were 17th, recording only slightly over 2 sacks a game. So defense a little bit better than offense, but it all adds up to an 8-8 year, Bill.
Yeah, and you know, Bill Parcells often said that you are what your record says you are, and that's absolutely the case with the Bears. In terms of players that they lost, Roy Robertson-Harris went to Jacksonville on a 3-year deal, defensive tackle. Kyle Fuller, who's a good player but 29 years of age, went to Denver, back with Vic Fangio on a 1-year deal. Charles Leno went to Washington on a 1-year deal for $4 million. And Cordero Patterson, who's an outstanding return man, really not much in any other factor of the game, but really outstanding in a return game, went to Atlanta on a 1-year deal. Mitchell Trubisky becomes the backup in Buffalo for $2.5 million. And Brent Irvin, Barcavius Mingo, John Jenkins, Rashad Coward, DeAndre Carter, and Eddie Pinheiro, who was not a bad kicker, all end up going elsewhere on 1-year deals. So that's the group that they relinquished. In terms of signed or added, they tagged Allen Robinson, probably a good move. Re-signed Deion Bush. Mario Edwards is a free agent signing it for 3 years. Tashawn Gibson for 1 year. DeAndre Houston Carson for 1 year. Jermaine Ifedi for 1 year. Punter Pat O'Donnell, they re-sign. And they bring back Cairo Santos for 3 years at $11 million. He looks like he's the present incumbent. So not bad there. Some usual suspects, Ifedi, et cetera, but generally not bad. Jeremiah Tachu, they signed as an outside linebacker, Angelo Blackson, wide receiver, Demir Byrd, Andy Dalton, who will be a placeholder at quarterback, Marquise Goodman, Christian Jones, Desmond Trufant, Elijah Wilkinson, Damian Williams, interesting running back. He should be a contributor. The others are just journeymen in reality. They've all been, rinsed and repeated at other places. And they're, solid journeymen, but only that. So it's not bad. It's not outstanding. In the end, we'll see what the finished product looks like.
But as a Bears fan, should I have been so psychotically agitated that they brought in Andy Dalton absent the Justin Fields news, or is that a plausible placeholding quarterback for a season or two seasons in the NFL?
Yeah, he's a very plausible placeholding quarterback. There's nothing wrong with him. He can move the football. He's professional. He can get you in and out of the huddle. He's a solid guy. Is it the answer? No, but he's a pretty solid football player.
But my feeling is, had he been the quarterback in Chicago last year, this could have been a 9 or 10 win team, or about the same kind of team?
I think it's about the same because they had no running game last year. They degraded the defense over time because of free agent departures, and so I think it probably, with Andy or Trubisky or Fields, it didn't matter. They were going to end up being 8-8 with Fields this year. If he plays, they'll probably be less than that. But we'll find out. I don't know how quickly he'll get on the field. You don't know how much the organization will react to outside fan pressure, which I'm sure there will be much of. Can they get him ready? I don't know. That remains to be seen.
So, Bill, fan pressure aside, or all the noise that we always talk about that you of course, as a football man, say is irrelevant. If you're bringing along a very talented guy, but who really doesn't seem like someone who can just step in and go, can you talk about the process of how you bring him along, even from the point of you're still trying to win? So your starter is getting most, if not all, the snaps with the first team in practice. How do you actually go about, other than him sitting there watching, learning in meetings, how do you go about taking the kid who's on the bench and you want to become a starter, how do you help him make that transformation so that he really is at least closer to being ready when he steps in?
There isn't any way to do it other than to give him extra reps. And the difficulty there is finding receivers of quality that can give him the kind of reps that you need. The first team guy needs to get all the reps, either that or you split them, or you go two-thirds, one-third by design, meaning that the first teamer is not as prepped as he should be going into the game. If you're going to get a quarterback ready to play, he has to take 85% of the reps. And 15% isn't good enough for a kid like Justin Fields, who hasn't played a lot of college football and is adjusting to a brand new, completely
right,
brand new offense. So the answer is there's no way to get him ready. He's got to sit and learn is basically what takes place. And that's what Patrick Mahomes did. It's what, Aaron Rodgers did. It's the best way to learn, via osmosis and practice every day. We'll see how much Love learned from his year in Green Bay. But there's no way to, unless you're going to deprive the starter of reps.
Right, right.
There's no way to get him ready.
Right, and then even then, with the way more and more you're trying to avoid injury where you're going around practice, it's not game conditioned. So I guess what you're saying is no matter what you do, when you put him in there, it's going to be in trial by fire.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. They draft Taven Jenkins from Oklahoma State in the second round. We'll find out if he can pass block. He's a road grader for sure. We'll find out if he can pass block. Larry Borum, another tackle from Missouri. They had a weakness at tackle, and they're trying to address it. We'll find out if they have. Khalil Herbert is a decent running back from Virginia. Daz Newsome, wide receiver who can really run, from North Carolina. He's going to be interesting because they don't have any wide receivers who can really run. So he's probably a pretty good addition to the squad. Thomas Graham, a decent corner from Oregon, and Kyrus Tonga, a defensive tackle from Brigham Young, round out the draft. But of course, Fields is the big the big name, and until he steps on the field, there'll be nothing but a drumbeat to get him on the field in the media. It's a headache for the coaching staff. It's a headache for the team. And then when he gets on the field, they'll give him a game or two and then decide whether he can or can't. By that, I mean the media and the fans decide whether or not he can or can't do it after two games. And then, there'll be a war as usual.
Right.
So, I mean, it's a bad situation, honestly.
Would the best thing for him be to sit this whole year?
Yes.
What absolutely. Do you think? What do you think the odds of that are?
1 in 10.
Yeah.
Okay.
In the old days, much higher, but not anymore.
Not anymore. The drumbeat of media is we'll see whether or not this organization, which is a fine, the McCaskies are an incredible family, and they already stayed with Coach Nagy and the GM, Ryan Pace, which was a good move. Now, can they and the team president withstand the beating they're going to take to get Fields on the field unless Andy Dalton lights it up from the start? And, if Andy does, then great. They're in good shape. If he doesn't, it's going to be tough to go to work there. It's going to be hard.
They're going to threaten to move the team to Arlington County.
It wouldn't matter if they moved it to Lake County on the Wisconsin border. It's still that's just a complicating factor. That's all.
Yeah, that's right.
It's one more headache in a season of headaches, I think.
It's going to be a fun time in Chicago.
This is like the Excedrin commercial in the old days.
It is for sure. They improved the running game with David Montgomery and Damian Williams to add to Tariq Cohen, who's coming off injury. If they can get that going, they're going to be in good shape. They're going to be able to be a pretty good football team. Allen Robinson is a solid possession receiver. Darnell Mooney is a solid young developing receiver, but nonetheless solid. So those two guys give Andy somebody to throw the football to, maybe better than what he had in Cincinnati at the end. Anthony Miller's a journeyman player. Daz Newsome, as I mentioned, can really run. Marquise Goodwin is a pretty solid backup receiver, but in Montgomery, Cohen, Williams, Robinson, and Mooney, they have some skilled players who are professionals who can win in the National Football League. Cole Kmet is an old-fashioned tight end. The media doesn't like him because he's not flashy. And Jimmy Graham is, on Social Security. So he's the supposed athletic tight end. But Kmet is a very solid, good blocker, good intermediate receiver, smart player. So add him. It tells you good running game, good play action game. And if somebody can emerge as a speed receiver, then pretty good overall passing game. Here's the problem. Tevin Jenkins, James Daniel, Cody Whitehair can play. Alex Barr can play. Jermaine Nfeti has been in Seattle, where Russell Wilson is the most sacked quarterback in the league. Is there a connection? Yes.
He is a person of interest in that crime.
if they can't protect, it doesn't matter who the quarterback is. And I can already tell you what the media narrative will be. Well, they can't protect, so you better get Fields in there because he can run around and make stuff happen. And the last guy who ran around and make stuff happen was Trubisky, and he ran around as far as to cross Lake Erie to Buffalo.
Yeah, he ran to Buffalo in the offseason.
Yeah,
yeah. So this is a self-fulfilling prophecy, and I have no criticism of anything they have done in terms of building this team and trying to solve the quarterback problem. All of that has been great. They just have not solidified the tackle position. Now, maybe Tevin Jenkins can do it, but playing a rookie left tackle, and one who's not a great pass protector to begin with, tough. And I don't, Ifedi's going to have to prove to me that he can play. I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Cole Kmet's going to be doing some chipping, right?
Yeah, well, you would think, yeah.
But I think they would be the most excited if the team moved to Arlington. I mean, no better story than a kid from Arlington Heights going to Notre Dame, being the tight end for the Chicago Bears. One of the better stories in the league.
Yeah. If stories
matter,
wind your clock.
Yeah, right.
All right. Let's go to the defense.
Okay. This is a different story entirely. It's eroded some, but particularly on the back end. But it's still pretty good. Akeem Hicks, Eddie Goldman, who's been hurt a good bit, but still a good player. Bilal Nichols, solid front three. The backups, Mario Edwards has been around a while. Tonga and Blackson are young players. The linebackers, Khalil Mack has not reached the level that he did in Las Vegas, but still is a really, really good player. Roquan Smith has become a good player. Danny Trevathan is a good player, if a little on the older side. And Robert Quinn is not bad. He's not a game changer, but he's not bad. So that front seven is really pretty good. Really pretty good. It's the secondary that's the problem. Tashawn Gibson is a retread. Eddie Jackson is the remaining member of a great secondary that was broken up by free agency and who knows other things. Trufant did not do well at his last stop in Detroit, nor did he do well in Atlanta. And so, you know, who are the guys in here? Artie Burns was hurt last year. He's a retread from Pittsburgh, where he did not play well. So, or well enough, let me put it that way. So I worry about the secondary. Front seven, I think, good as long as they can stay healthy. And the erosion has come in his secondary. Eddie Jackson is a very solid player, bordering on Pro Bowl, you know, with a really good team. But can Quinn be the second rusher to help Mac? You know, does somebody else step up there? There's been erosion there that it's pretty hard to understand. I don't know why. I don't know where you'd spend money if not on really good players in the secondary. So we'll see how it works out. You know, is 8-8 in the cards? Probably. Could it be worse? Sure, if Fields has to play, it'll be worse, or could be worse. And I don't know about you know, whether or not they can go better than 8-8, depending on what the division does. I don't know how strong the division is going to be. So not a tremendous outlook. And all the focus is going to be on Fields. That's the bottom line.
It's going to be a tough one.
All right, gang, before we dive into the second half of the show, I wanted to take a minute and talk about something I love doing more than just about anything else in the summer, and that's grilling meat. And we have got one of the best sponsors in the grilled meat game, or the meat game in general, on the pod. That's right. Moinkbox has entered the Inside Football podcast universe, and I cannot recommend their meat enough. From their ground beef to their bacon is legitimately, and it's not just me, Shark Tank host Kevin O'Leary, innumerable people have said it's the best bacon they've ever tasted. Moink was founded by an 8th-generation farmer who was featured on Shark Tank. So why do just 4 companies control 80% of the U.S. meat industry? Because big food crushes the little guy, and you can help out with Moinkbox. So head over to www.moinkbox.com today and get your first box. Join the Moink movement today. Go to moinkbox.com/believe right now, and listeners of this show get free bacon for a year with every box order. That's right, you get free bacon for a year. I'm about to order 70 boxes myself. That's 1 year of the best bacon you'll ever taste, but for a limited time. It's spelled moinkbox.com/believe. That's moinkbox.com/believe to get free bacon for a year today.
You're right. Well, all right. Let's go into some kneecap biting time.
All right. So we moved to the Motor City, and the Lions finished 5-11. They were 20th in points per game. They scored a little over 23 a game. In combined yards per play, they were tied for 12th at 5.7. They were 10th in passing yards. Not, you know, that was pretty good. They averaged 7.1, Bill. On the rush side, they tied for 23rd, actually, with the Bears at 4.1. And they allowed 2.6 sacks a game, which tied them for 22nd. On the defensive side of the ball, not as good. They were ranked 32nd in points allowed, a little over 32. In combined yards, they were ranked 32nd again, allowing 420 yards a game. And passing yards, 32nd, 8.2. In rushing yards, they were tied for 15th at 4.4. They were 26th in sacks that they made at 1.5. Their point differential was a ghastly minus 8.9, and their turnover margin was minus 0.6. And certainly in this case, the Bill Parcells adage rings true again.
That's what happens when you stop playing after week 6.
Yes. And just to grind the axe a little further, but I have to do it for my friend Jim Caldwell. He took them to the playoffs and winning records in two consecutive years and actually should have advanced in the playoffs, but for a disgraceful officiating call, which sits in the officiating hall of shame right along with the Los Angeles Rams New Orleans call. And he wasn't good enough for the manager who decided, and the team president who decided that they were going to make Detroit New England West. And how did that work out?
Yeah.
You don't replace Colts guys with Patriots guys.
Well, you don't replace players with non-players.
Yeah.
And you don't replace good character guys with guys who don't want to play. This is a team that, from my perspective, was 5-5 coming into Carolina on right around Veterans Day. So they're in the hunt. They got Matthew Stafford at quarterback. The running back, who's really good, was banged up. But they got a chance to run over the Panthers, who were playing a quarterback who last played for Temple and in the Canadian League. And they quit flat. Stafford was the only guy that played hard. Well, I take that back. The offensive line did a decent job. The defense quit flat. And then they did the very same thing on Thanksgiving Day, they embarrassed themselves on national television. And the team president said, well, we learned what not to do. I guess so.
Yeah.
I guess so. How you get to be a team president and take that approach is beyond me, but
yeah,
there you go.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
I'm glad you're learning on the job. So they released 16 players. Now, are these the culprits? Probably some are, but I see some names that I think are reasonably good players and guys who I've known to be guys who give you 100% all the time. But if these are the culprits, so be it. Good riddance. I hope for the Ford family, who are wonderful, wonderful people, their executives have learned something from this experience. I don't know. Jim Caldwell is not a bitter person, so I'll be bitter for him.
Right. Bitter on his behalf.
Right. Bitter on his behalf. That's yep. Right. What happened to him is terrible.
It is.
And the results show it. Okay, let's talk about who left. Kenny Golladay. Outstanding receiver, 28 years old, 4-year deal from the Giants, which wasn't out of the, out of the realm of reasonableness. Power receiver, not a great speed guy, power guy, but great route runner, catches the ball, tough as hell, runs after the catch, good player. Jamal Agnew is just the guy. Marvin Jones, 31, got a 2-year deal from Jacksonville, good solid possession receiver, good hands, obviously winding down. Matt Prater is a reasonably good kicker. He got a 2-year deal from Arizona. He's been around, obviously, quite a bit. But he's a professional. Now, they've been, they had the same kicker for 20 years. So I can understand where they'd be a little discriminating there. Jared Davis is a first-round draft choice that the previous administration, the, quote, Patriots administration, drafted, and he failed completely. Justin Coleman, journeyman cornerback, Darrell Roberts, journeyman cornerback, Abushi, offensive tackle. They have a good offensive line, so he's probably excess baggage. Jaron Harmon, former Patriot. Christian Jones, linebacker, average. Mohamed Sanu, wide receiver, 32 at the end of his career. Denny Shelton, run-down nose tackle. He was in New England. He's been in a number of other places, only plays on first down, can't rush the passer. Killebrew, safety. Reggie Ragland, a 3-4 inside linebacker, came over from the Jets. Chase Daniel, who's pretty solid backup. He goes to the Chargers. Chase has made a lot of money being a backup over the years, and he's a good one. And Trufant, I mentioned before, had a bad year in Atlanta, had a bad year in Detroit, and now goes to Chicago. So, you know, not a pretty picture. They re-signed the long snapper, Don Muehlbach. Romeo Okwara, who is a Jim Caldwell draft choice, is really the one bright spot on the defense, who played hard and had a good year. But to their credit, I think they did a lot to try and remake the defense. We'll see whether it pans out or not. Alex Anzalone comes over from Atlanta on a one-year deal. Alex Anzalone is a good player who's injury prone. Tim Boyle is a backup quarterback. Randy Bullock, you know, reasonably good kicker. We'll see how he performs. Quentin Dunbar, not a bad corner. Corn Elder, not a bad corner. Darren Fells, pretty solid tight end. Nothing dynamic about him, but pretty solid. Charles Harris, Josh Hill, who later retired. Prashad Perryman, he's been, you know, everybody, he's been waiting for Godot, and we're still waiting for him to, you know, perform to the level of a high draft choice. Damian Ratley, Khalif Raymond, Jamal Williams, you know, not a bad pickup. Of course, they traded Matthew Stafford. Now, whether Matthew wanted to be traded or they decided to get out from under his money, who knows? It really doesn't matter. They got Michael Brockers. Now their new general manager comes from the Rams, so he knows these guys. He knows these guys, and so you certainly give him the benefit of the doubt. Michael Brockers, you know, good solid outside rusher. I don't know what the kind of defense they're going to play. We'll see. And Goff, we'll do a quarterback show a little later on here in the offseason. But Goff was trade bait for a reason. He had a very poor year last year in terms of where he ranks and the numbers, so on and so forth. So maybe, you know, the GM knows him and he's new and maybe I'm sure he believes in him. They also got choices back from the Rams to take that contract. And then they waived Hunter Bryant and Kerryon Johnson. So again, nothing special here. Nothing that you would say, wow, this is terrific. They really remade the team, but we'll, you know, let's see how it works out. They took Penei Sewell, who fell to them. This is a kid with a lot of promise as a left tackle. But they have a left tackle. In typical Lion fashion, they're going to play him at right tackle.
Could he even play guard, too?
I guess. Why would you draft a guard with the 7th pick in the draft?
I don't know. We've made that mistake before in D.C.
He'll be a good player, but I don't know why you draft a left tackle to play right tackle. It's not that easy a transition. No, maybe in their system it is. I don't know.
And somebody who was a COVID year and has not played a lot of football before that.
Correct. But that's true of a lot of people. I mean, I'm not knocking the pick here. I just, to make the transition from right tackle, left tackle to right tackle is not easy. It's not easy. Okay. They take Levi.
Owunzeriki.
This is a good solid pick. This is a guy that can get up the field. He's athletic. He's active. He's tough. Pretty good player. Alim McNeil is a defensive tackle from North Carolina State. Big solid guy. Ifeto Melifonwu has a brother that plays in the league. Syracuse cornerback. Active guy. Don't know if he's quite good enough as a man cover guy. We'll find out. Amon-Ra St. Brown is the brother of the Equanimeous St. Brown, who's with the Packers. And he's a, you know, pretty solid possession receiver. Neither guy runs real fast, but they're big, long possession receivers. Derek Barnes is a good, solid linebacker from Purdue, and Jamar Jefferson, a decent running back from Oregon State. So, you know, not a terrible draft. They've had worse in their history.
That's the good bar for the Lions.
Yeah, that's
there's been worse.
It's a low bar for the Lions.
Hey, from a storytelling perspective, this goes along with the press conference.
Yeah.
Yeah. If Penei Sewell works out as a right tackle, then I think they've done pretty well. But, you know, we'll see. We go to the depth chart. Jared Goff is the quarterback, and we'll find out, you know, what he can do. We'll find out. Is he gonna rebound, or is he gonna be a middle of the pack starter? DeAndre Swift, solid back, really solid back. And Jamal Williams, that should be a pretty good combination, and it might be the best combination they've had in a while. DeAndre Swift was a good draft choice for them. You got to, you know, give credit where credit is due. That's the old regime, but he's a pretty good player. So they ought to be able to run the ball. Terrell Williams and Breshad Perriman and Quintus Cephas, you know, stay tuned. Let's see what they look like.
That's the most worrisome receiver group in the league, right?
Probably. Probably.
They're going to have to be good running the ball, because who is he throwing to?
It rated a moment of consideration by Bill, but yeah. Yes.
You know, Jerron, they're all guys who are twos and threes. So who's the number one receiver? There isn't one.
Yeah, someone's right. Gonna have to, that's right.
One's going to have to emerge. So, you know, we'll see. Could it be Geronimo Allison? Yes, probably. It's possible. Could it be St. Brown? It's possible. Could Perriman, after however many years he spent wandering in the wilderness, finally, you know, the light goes on, maybe. Quintus Cephas has some ability. We'll see.
Well, there's certainly going to be a number one who emerges statistically, perhaps not as a quality of a number one receiver, but
he may be playing tight end.
Right.
Well, now, when we talk about tight end, TJ Hockenson is right up there with the best in the league. So, you know, credit DeAndre Swift, TJ Hockenson, two great draft choices there. Darren Fells is not a bad backup, by the way. And Alize Mack might make the team. He's a pretty good special teams player. So, you know, this is maybe the best group on the team, the tight end room. They're listing a fullback, so I presume they're going to run a version of the New Orleans offense. So that's Jason Cabanata. The offensive line, pretty good group. Taylor Decker is fine at left tackle. Jonah Jackson is fine at left guard. Frank Ragnall is fine at center. They re-signed him to a big contract. All of those guys are Jim Caldwell guys. Vaitai comes over from Philadelphia to play right guard, and he's not bad as a guard. He's not a tackle. Philadelphia tried him at tackle, and he didn't work out there, but he's not bad as a guard. And Sewell is going to play right tackle. So we'll see whether or not this can blend into a pretty good offensive line group. It's interesting in that there's some guys there who are pretty established players, i.e. Decker and Ragnow, and then Vaitai and Jackson, you know, kind of fence sitters and Sewell changing position. And the offensive line coach is Hank Fraley, who's veteran offensive line coach. So we'll see. We'll see how that fits together. Not a bad group.
Hey, Bill, at guard, Tommy Kramer came in as an undrafted free agent. Could he play here?
Yeah. he could play. Yes.
That could be the steal of undrafted free agency.
Yeah, it's entirely possible. Now, they're listing a 4-3 defense. I don't know in the end if that's what they'll be. Let me just see who he hired as defensive coordinator. Aaron Glenn. So Aaron's a good, solid defensive backfield coach, probably making his first step on the stage as a major coordinator. As I said before, Okwara has really game-changing ability. Owner Zuriki got a chance to be pretty good. Brockers, pretty solid. Trey Flowers, big free agent signing. Power rusher only. Power 3-4 player. Did not do well last year. Trying hard this year. Think he's miscast in this defense. And he was always miscast as a rusher. Julian Okwara backs him up. Flowers might only be a two-down player on a big contract. We'll see. Reeves Maben, Tavai, and Jamie Collins are the linebackers. Quentin Dunbar, Will Harris at strong safety. Tracy Walker at free safety are, you know, so-so. And Jeff Okuda had a rough year last year as a rookie, but I think there's hope there. So this is a group that maybe has a chance, if they play hard and smart, to be solid. And if they can develop another rusher, and it may well be the Okwara brothers rushing the passer, if they can develop another rusher, then they might be pretty good. Can the back end hold up? We'll find out. But I like if they can kick Flowers inside and Owen Zuriki and Okwara and the younger Okwara, that's not bad. That's something to work with. Randy Bullock is, as I said before, solid kicker. Jack Fox, solid punter. Khalif Raymond is a, you know, nice return guy. So, you know, where are they? How is Goff play? Does he have any receivers? Who, if anybody, will emerge? There's no Kenny Golladay there, I can tell you that. And how good is the defensive back end going to be when it's all said and done? So we'll see. This is an interesting experiment. I like the GM Brad Holmes pedigree. I like where he comes from. The draft looked decent, but this is a long way, a long climb. And the first thing this coach has to do is create an atmosphere where people who laid down, who quit, who didn't respect the game and their teammates don't have safe harbor. He's got to make sure that every single one of those guys is out of the building.
He seems sufficiently scary.
Well, you know, it's one thing to talk. It's another to it's another to actually do it. In talking with Terry Bradshaw for a book I'm involved with, Terry Bradshaw made it clear that there weren't very many comfortable people on the great Pittsburgh Steelers teams. And Chuck Knoll was a man of a few words, and I can tell you, was personally a little intimidating when you were around him, but he didn't tolerate any of that stuff. So words are not important. It's actions that count.
Exactly. Well, speaking of actions that count.
All right. Before we get there, Scott, I want you to get our crack research team, which is you, onto something. When Bill mentioned Waiting for Godot, I have a feeling that that is the first time in the history of football podcasts that there was a Samuel Beckett reference. There's certainly a lot of absurdist things in the NFL. So I just want you to check that out. And all that is joke for you English majors out there.
All right, guys. Well, we got a new sponsor on the show this week, Magna Athletic. And I got to tell you, they are truly churning out some of the premier compression gear, no matter what your sport is, whether you're doing mixed martial arts, whether you're boxing, whether you're just gone for a super hard run. They've got some of the best compression gear in the market. What do you guys like to do to recover after hard workouts? Have you guys messed with compression at all?
Bill?
I used to in my younger days. What I do to recover now is to lay down for long periods of time. I actually do work out every day, sad to say, walking. During the days when I ran quite a bit, which has really been all my life up until I hurt myself a couple of years ago, I use compression gear frequently, and it is a must in NFL training camps.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because guys need to keep the swelling down and be able to get quicker recovery, especially in 2-a-days. So this is gear that is not optional and a fashion statement. It's a tool for very serious athletes.
Hey, aside from, I guess, the other thing I would add in is ice, a lot of ice afterwards. But there's also something that really high quality compression gear that even while you're doing it, it makes you feel better about what you're doing. It makes you feel fitter. It makes you feel more protected. Just that sort of snugness against the muscles. So I think it's great. In the years Bill and I have been involved in pro sports, there's been so much that's changed. But things like compression gear are certainly have helped in recovery. And as people in football have gotten bigger and stronger and faster, and the collisions and the forces are greater, this is certainly an absolute must. And Scott, you're probably the biggest mixed martial arts fan among us. Talk a little bit about that sport.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is an interesting time. Big fight this weekend with Israel Adesanya maintaining the middleweight belt. It's an interesting time in MMA. I mean, you've got definitely some former football players and a different type of athlete entering the sport. I think you're starting to see generationally athletes who have been training MMA their whole lives. I think when the sport first started, there was definitely that whole sort of dojo mentality of boxer versus jiu-jitsu practitioner. And I think we've entered a era that's going to be fun in the sport where you've seen guys train their whole lives in MMA. And one of the guys I think about a lot is your old client, Herschel Walker, who at 48 did one of the most impressive things in the Bellator cage in terms of winning its first fight. But it's a fun time in the sport. And I think as we go, we'll see more and more NFL guys enter into the sport after their career. I mean, hopefully it doesn't turn into like these thriller fights where you're seeing YouTube fighters fight boxers like Floyd Mayweather, who that was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
The only thing more ridiculous than that was anybody who paid for it.
That's true. All right. Well, if you need compression gear, look no further than Magna Athletic. They've got you covered. It's truly phenomenal stuff. And if you go to the site, we actually have a discount code. The discount code is BILL15, and you'll get 15% off your order. I cannot stress it enough. No matter what sport you're doing, whether you're playing tennis, doing MMA, knocking around some weights, compression gear post-workout is pretty phenomenal.
All right, we'll move on. We'll move on to somebody that knows how to play this game, the Green Bay Packers. Bill, you will not be surprised, obviously, at any of this. That you wind up at 13-3 when on offense, they were number one in points per game at 31.5. They were tied for second in combined average yards per play at 6.3. They were tied for third in the passing game at 7.7, fifth in the rush game at 4.8, and third again at only giving up 1.4 sacks. So every single key statistical category was at worst fifth, and most of them were in the top three. On the defensive side of the ball, it's good. It's not quite as stellar. They were ranked 14th. In terms of points allowed at 23.2, they gave up 230 yards a game, which put them seventh. On the passing side, they tied for 10th, giving up 6.6 per pass. They fell a little down on the rush game. They were tied for 17th, giving up 4.5, and they tied for 8th, registering 2.6 sacks. Their point differential was plus 8.3. That was third in the league. And their turnover margin put them sixth at 0.4. So a good season, good numbers. Talk about the past and the future for them, will you, Bill?
Well, when you reached the championship game, you had a great season. And they've been to the championship game for the last 2 years. The reason they did not advance is because their defense, when push came to shove in all big games throughout both those years, was unreliable, particularly on the back end. with mistakes and failure to cover. And as you might remember in the championship game, some really terrible basic mistakes, allowing a touchdown before the half.
Yeah.
In a 2-minute situation, when Brady wasn't even trying to score.
Right.
So, you know, it's those kinds of breakdowns which occurred far too frequently, and the defensive coordinator was fired. The biggest loss is Corey Linsley at center, free agency. He's 30 years old. He goes to the Chargers for an average of 12.5, 26 guaranteed. He's an outstanding player. This had to be a tough call for the Packers, because at 30, you're looking at probably some significant dead money on this contract. But by the same token, this is a pivotal, pivotal guy. He was really good. And, you know, they're going to have to replace him.
Normal cap year, he probably stays, right, Bill?
You would think.
Okay.
You would think. I will say this. They have been kindred spirits of ours when we were in Indianapolis. I mean, we went about things pretty much the same way, which means we were very conservative in terms of spending money on free agents and trying to keep our own. Ted Thompson, God rest his soul, their great general manager, was frequently criticized for not going into the free agent market as we were. And Ted and I would always commiserate about the fact that the media and fans didn't consider re-signing your own guys as free agents.
Right. Yeah.
I think they believe they're exempt from the cap or something like that. But, you know, this is the first really high profile departure that they've had in a long time. So it'll be interesting to see how he does in Los Angeles, what his health is like, and B, do they get him replaced? Jamal Williams was a solid backup running back who goes to Detroit for 2 years at $3 million. Christian Kirksey is a linebacker who was brought in by the former defensive coordinator because he's his guy, I guess, to get people lined up. Tim Boyle was a, you know, journeyman backup quarterback who goes to Detroit. Lane Taylor is a journeyman guard slash tackle, and Montrevious Adams, Perry Nickerson, Raven Green, James Burgess, you know, just backup guys that they'll replace. They re-signed Aaron Jones, very solid running back, 4 years at 48. They re-signed Kevin King, somewhat surprising, because he didn't have a great year. Tyler Lancaster and Mercedes Lewis, you know, pretty reasonable signings. And they bring in the redoubtable Blake Bortles to do what? I don't know. You know, does he make the team? I don't know. We'll see. If we look at the draft, I think it's a, you know, pretty solid draft. Eric Stokes is a really solid cover corner. Josh Myers, he's not the heir apparent, I don't believe. I mean, I should say he is the heir apparent. I don't think he'll be the starter right away. But, you know, he's the heir apparent at center. Amari Rodgers, really interesting wide receiver from Clemson. He fits the mold there, the power, you know, girth, run after the catch wide receiver in the West Coast offense. Royce Newman is an interesting tackle from Mississippi. To Darryl Slayton, a defensive tackle from Florida, pretty good. Shamir John Charles from Appalachian, not a bad corner. Cole Van Lannen is a guard from Wisconsin, and as such is almost guaranteed to make the team because Wisconsin guards play forever in the league.
Especially in Green Bay.
Well, no, that's not a hometown pick.
No, I know.
They just turn out great offensive linemen.
Absolutely. But there is obviously a love of Badgers signings there, too.
Without question.
Yeah.
Isaiah McDuffie's an interesting linebacker from Boston College, and Kylan Hill is a running back from Mississippi State. So you know, Amari Rodgers is a guy to keep your eye on. Let's see how fast Myers comes. Let's see how Stokes fits into the new defensive situation. You know, I think little to criticize in that draft, and probably a lot to feel good about if you're a Pack fan.
I think Amari is the main Rodgers all Packers fans are worried about this offseason.
Yeah, I doubt it. And Jared Belldeer and Tremont Williams officially retired.
All right. Well, here we go.
Here we go. We'll leave the quarterback position to be discussed at a later date. Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon, solid running back group. You want a third guy to emerge there because A.J. is really a cold weather, snow, short yardage, goal line guy.
He's a Bill Parcells guy, right?
Yeah, he is. He sure is. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I like him too. I mean, he'd be a third short yardage goal line back for me any day of the week.
I was just thinking about his posterior.
Yes, he is. He is.
He's built. I would not want to get hit by him.
So they need somebody else to take, you know, some load off Aaron there. But otherwise, good. Devontae Adams, one of the best receivers in the league. Alan Lazard is really a good receiver that everybody overlooks. He's a good player. Valdez Scantling, not bad. Equanimous St. Brown, not bad. If Amari Rodgers can break into that top three, they really have good wide receivers. You know, the biggest cry in the media is get a wide receiver. It's not, first of all, it isn't that easy. Second of all, it's not that smart. One of these guys, backup guys, Rodgers, St. Brown, or Funchess is not in that mix. Valdez Scantling should emerge and become a solid, valuable receiver. Lazard is right now, for my money. So this is not an empty cupboard, as many in the media would talk about. Tonyan, I think, is just a typical Green Bay receiving tight end who does a marvelous job and emerges from nowhere to become a go-to guy. Mercedes Lewis has been around forever and continues to be. Sternberger was just suspended, so they're going to need a third guy to step up there. Degura had something to work with coming out. I think he's a long way away. We'll see, you know, what kind of progress he's made. Bakhtiari is within the system, solid left tackle. Jenkins, good. Myers, they have penciled in there as a starter. I'm not so sure that that's the way it is on opening day. Lucas Patrick, not bad. Billy Turner, not bad at right tackle. I'd like to see Billy Turner be a little more reliable, and Myers has got to step in and replace Corey Lindley, or someone else has to, Van Lannen, Lucas Patrick, somebody's got to step in and replace him there. So that's a work in progress. That's something to keep your eye on during the preseason. Defensively, they remain 3-4. You know, I don't know. It certainly will be a change in terms of the approach because Mike Pettine, the former coordinator, was a disciple of Rex Ryan. And so there was a lot of blitzing and a lot of zero coverage and a lot of mistakes in the secondary. I mean, it's the same gospel wherever they go.
Right.
A lot of sacks, pretty good statistics, and a lot of breakdowns. And the new coordinator is Joe Barry, who started out in Tampa 2, actually. So he's had a number of jobs and a lot of experience in different defensive systems. So this is going to be pretty interesting, I think, in terms of what does it all look like when it's all said and done.
Well, his last DC stop was with us and with the yeah. football team. So
yeah.
And people freaked.
Dean Lowry, solid player. Kenny Clark, outstanding player. Kinsley Kiki, not bad. Rush, Slayton, Lancaster, really good backups there. Preston Smith, had a bad year. They paid him a lot of money. He had a bad year. Kamel Martin and Chris Barnes are, you know, decent inside linebackers. They lost some guys there who were pretty good players. Za'Darius Smith had a good year. Am I getting that right? Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Za'Darius
yeah.
had an outstanding year. Rashawn Gary has to beat out Preston Smith. I mean, that's the bottom line. Because he's number one, he's a high draft choice. And number two, he's got rush ability. Preston Smith was, you know, very average this past year. So Rashawn Gary has to beat him out in order for this 3-4 to be functional. Because both outside linebackers have to be solid rush guys. Jair Alexander is the best man-to-man corner in the league. Adrian Amos and Darnell Savage are really good safeties. And Kevin King is the weak link there, probably soon to be replaced by Eric Stokes. Now, how Kevin King will play in another system, I'm putting a gun to his head, probably unfairly. Kevin King in another system where he's not on an island and forced to play people man-to-man all the time, it has been a very serviceable corner. There's a home for him someplace if he doesn't make it there. But they drafted Stokes clearly to replace him.
Who would play the nickel for them?
Well, it might be King. It might be King. It might be Redmond. We'll see. King would be better in the nickel situation because, he's a decent football player. It's unfair to penalize him for being – if you ask them to do something they can't do, that's the coach's fault, not the player's fault. So it'll be interesting to see what Joe does with this group, how he gets them aligned. But I think Gary is the key. If Gary can come in and play well and replace Preston Smith, then they're a pretty good team defensively. And if Stokes can come in and if Joe can straighten out the secondary, let him, play mistake-free, and that it's not bad. So, if they can go from unreliable, which they were last year at spades, to reliable and not lose games like they did in the championship game, then they got a chance to be pretty good. Mason Crosby is a good, solid kicker, although he, too, is collecting Social Security, but he's still good. J.K. Scott, good punter. Amari Rodgers may emerge as the punt returner. So this is a good football team. Better receivers than people know. A defense that was touted to be pretty good, which wasn't the last 2 years, but has a chance to be. And I believe that Aaron Rodgers will be back. And I believe he will play well, as he usually does. At his age, injury is always an issue. And we will find out in the preseason what Love has or does not have. I don't think Aaron's going to sit out very much of the preseason. I think he's going to come in and earn his money and then move on next year. And so as long as he's there, they're a contender. No question about it.
All right. There you go. Let's go to my nephew's favorite team, Stevens, Minnesota Vikings.
Let me say, sticking with our literary bent here, this is kind of Dickensian. It's not the best of times and the worst of times. It was the very good of times and pretty bad of times, Bill. On the offensive side of the ball, they ranked 11th in points per game at just under 30. On combined yards per game, they were fourth at 6.2. On the passing attack, they were ranked second at 7.8. The rushing game put them at fourth at 4.9. They didn't do a great job of protection. They were 20th, giving up 2.4 sacks, but certainly a very, very solid offensive performance. Then we go to the other side of the ball. And on defense, they were ranked 29th in points per game, giving up just under 30 a game, 27th in combined yards allowed at 393. 30th in passing yards allowed at 7.7. Rushing, they were tied for 21st, giving up 4.6. And they were 26th in sacks recorded at only 1.1. That ended up with a point differential because of the defense that put them at tied for 21st at minus 2.8 and a negative 0.1 turnover margin, tying them for 20th, Bill.
Those numbers tell you the whole story. They had a much better offensive year than I thought that they would. And that's probably a credit to Clint Kubiak, the coordinator, Gary's son, and a much worse defensive year than you would ever expect from a Mike Zimmer team. So you have to chalk that off to injuries and to just an anomaly. They did get rid of a lot of older players, many of whom were really solid citizens. So Kyle Rudolph at age 32 goes to the Giants. Riley Reiff at age 33 goes to Cincinnati. Anthony Harris at age 30 goes to Philadelphia. Mike Bone, young guy at 26, goes to Denver. Eric Wilson, Adenabo, Shamar Stevens, Jahlil Johnson, and Chris Jones are role players, basically. But Rudolph, Reiff, and the other Harris and Boone, are guys that, you know, they're pretty solid guys who, in the case of the first three, had a lot of age on them and probably wise to move on. But they'll be somewhat tough to replace. They re-signed Amir Abdullah, who is a third down back. Chad Beebe, who is the son of a former player of mine, Don Beebe, which makes me feel terribly old. chance to be a pretty good slot receiver. He's a developing player. Dakota Doja, a developing guard, and Rashad Hill, an offensive tackle. They went out in the marketplace. They signed Mackenzie Alexander, Greg Joseph, Patrick Peterson, who is up in years.
But goes to the cornerback fountain of youth.
Yes, he does. Right. Well said. Ty Smith, those corners, of course, Zim wants out there for a reason. And older corners always play well for Zim. So he knows how to use them. He knows how to train them. He knows how to keep them ready. So, typically you'd criticize those signings, but not with Zim. Dalvin Tomlinson fills a role for them at defensive tackle that they badly needed, as does Stephen Weatherly. Nick Vigil is a pretty solid linebacker, and they bring in Xavier Woods, bring back Xavier Woods at safety. They traded Mike Hughes to the Chiefs and traded for Mason Cole from the Cardinals, largely, I think, to replace Riley Reiff. So as we look at the draft, it's really interesting and I think pretty exciting. Christian Darrisaw is going to be the left tackle of the future. The question is not does he have ability, he does. Does he have the drive, the work ethic to really maximize that ability? That's the question. Not questioning the pick. It's just, is he going to live up to that ability? Because there were some questions about that in college. Kellen Mond is a developmental quarterback. He played 4 years at Texas A&M, but two of them were a disaster. The last two have been pretty good, but he's a developmental player. And I'm not sure he's the guy of the future. I wouldn't bet on him.
No matter what Robert Griffin says about him.
Right.
Yeah.
And he did just sign the other day. So.
Well, Robert's auditioning for the 30 for 30 RG3 versus Kirk movie every week that goes by.
Chaz Surratt is an interesting guy. He was a quarterback at one time, and they moved him to linebacker at North Carolina, I believe, last year. Had a good year. He's obviously a good athlete. This was, I thought, a pretty good pick. Wyatt Davis is a road grader guard from Ohio State, but they like road graders. They can play with him there. So I think that's a decent pick. Patrick Jones is a hard-playing, tough guy, a Zim kind of guy. He's not a great pass rusher, but he's a really a good trench guy. a defensive end from Pittsburgh. Wanagu, running back from Iowa State. This is a position that they got to get somebody that they can count on to do a solid job and be a positive contributor behind the number one guy. Byram, a quarterback from California. Jarius Robinson, defensive end of Florida State. Amir Marisset from Iowa. He's an interesting guy. All kinds of difficulties off the field. Pretty solid performer on the field. Zach Davidson, tight end from Central Missouri, and Twyman, the other defensive tackle from Pittsburgh. So all in all, a pretty solid draft. If anything happens to Cousins, can Mond step in? I think we ought to talk about that because Mond has a huge arm. He was a big recruit from IMG Academy at Texas A&M. He has running ability. He's mobile. His question, you know, accuracy and decision-making are his issues. I don't think he's ready. So Kirk Cousins had a marvelous year last year. So you better pray that he stays healthy. Dalvin Cook is the man. And if Dalvin Cook is not healthy, Kirk Cousins is in a lot of trouble. So, you know, Kirk's leader last year statistically was outstanding, but it's because of the threat of Dalvin Cook running the football in the play action game, which he's great at. Madison is a pretty solid backup. Abdullah, as I said, is a third down back. Madison has to be the guy. I mean, he's got to develop. Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson are as good a tandem as there is in the league. Chad Beebe, I thought, had a decent year as a rookie. Not great, but decent. He's got to step up. He's got to step up his game. If he can, then I think that's as good a group as you'll find. Irv Smith Jr., solid tight end. C.J. Ham, solid fullback. And then Darisaw Dozier, Garrett Bradbury, who is a really good draft choice, Ezra Cleveland, and Brian O'Neill, who's developed better than I thought he was. You know, he's come on and gotten better. If that group, if Darisaw can be the left tackle, then that's a really solid group. So the offensive, Darisaw has to play well. Dalvin Cook has to stay healthy. And if that's the case, then this is a team that should be as explosive offensively as they were last year.
You just have to stop some people this time around.
Well, that's largely, as I said, I think an anomaly. But we'll find out. Danielle Hunter, who's an outstanding pass rusher, returns from injury. That was a huge loss. Dalvin Tomlinson steps in at defensive tackle and fills a big role there in the run game. Michael Pierce is solid. DJ Wanham is solid in the run game. Nick Vigil, Eric Kendricks, solid. Surratt, I think, will play a role there before it's all over. I think Ryan Connolly is a solid backup and a good special teams guy if he can stay healthy. Kendricks is an outstanding middle linebacker. The key to the whole thing is Anthony Barr, because he's not only the strong linebacker, but he's the rusher. He's the second rusher with Danielle Hunter, and he was out with injury last year. So the two best rushers were missing. And if they get them back and they're healthy, then this again becomes a really good defense. Cameron Dantzler was a draft choice last year that came in and played well. Patrick Peterson is going to play right corner. Xavier Woods will be at free safety. Harrison Smith's a Pro Bowler and a good one. Jeff Gladney is going to be in there somewhere, and you know, we'll see what Byram can do. And we'll see what Mackenzie Alexander can do. So they added some help in the secondary, and they added and it was already a reasonably good group. So Barr and Neil Hunter and Dalvin Tomlinson back make this a typical Zim defense. So if they're back and healthy and everything goes the way it should, then you got yourself a team that should be a contender.
Yeah, this is a tough out if they stay healthy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Got to stay healthy. It's a tough out.
Because, like, offensive talent-wise, Bill, this is just a step under Dallas, right? But still towards the top of the league.
Yeah, it all depends on the running back. I mean, that's he's the key. If Dalvin Cook can play a full season, he's going to give you 1,000 yards plus. He's going to be the linchpin. He's the whole key. I'm not sure they have quite the explosive receiver like Dallas does with CeeDee Lamb, but that's picking nits, you know. It's a solid group. The left tackle's got to perform. He's got to perform. That's a lot to ask of a rookie. But they do so much pass protection now in the spread in college that the transition isn't as hard as it used to be. Marisette, by the way, keep your eye on as a return guy. He should win the job, and I think he'll be pretty interesting. Greg Joseph and Britton Colquitt are, you know, solid guys. Britton is also approaching Social Security, but as good as ever.
Well, there you go, gang. I feel like this is a division with question marks, but this is a fun division, I think.
Yeah, it is. If Minnesota's defense can rebound, which I have no doubt it will, if the key players are there, then they're going to give Green Bay a run for their money. Detroit is a hand everybody a spade and start digging. It's a long way out.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's why you're biting kneecaps. That's why we're biting at shins and kneecaps first, and then year two we go to elbow.
And Scott, if you're right, this may be the first time anybody has applied the adjective fun to the NFC North, but we'll see.
There you go. The Norris division. All right. Well, we're heading west next week, guys. So if you have things you want us to cover, as always, hit us up on Twitter at IFBillPolian. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Be well, everybody. Talk to you next week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning architectural shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in store and on menards.com, and check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.